Hello, friends. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this broadcast today. We're so glad to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF, and we're so glad that you have become part of the listening family. And if you're a brand new listener, we welcome you today. And if you don't know Jesus, don't turn the channel. Amen. The Bible is a book that addresses all of us, whether we are lost or found, rich or poor, bond or free. God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life and your eternal destiny, so that you can live your life here with God's help and God's healing for all the hurt that we accumulate as fallen men and women in a world that's been tainted by sin and the curse. But Jesus came to set the captive free and to set at liberty those that are bruised, according to the Scripture. And every one of us have been hurt and bruised and broken. And that brings us to our broadcast title today, a continuation on the subject, Jesus, the Healer of the Broken. And I know what it is to have a broken heart. It didn't take long for sin to take its toll on me and for Satan to do damage to my heart and my life, emotionally and spiritually, and affecting me spiritually. But I want you to know today, amen, that there is a wonderful, wonderful healer in Jesus Christ who knows exactly where the hurt is and exactly how to heal it. Praise God. Amen. So we want to talk about Jesus, the Healer of the Broken today. We have something in common, whether you're saved or not saved, whether you're male or female, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're of a particular race or another peculiar race of people. We have a commonality, and that is that we all, because of Adam's fall, we all live in faulty bodies, and we live in a fallen world. And it, maybe that would explain why all of the things are occurring to cause such pain and heartache in this world as it is today. Ah, friend, the good news is there's a day coming when Jesus is going to rule and reign right here on this planet. Praise God. And when He does, during that kingdom reign of Christ here, there will be no hurt. Nothing will hurt in His holy mountain. Amen. A child will lay down, by the lamb will lay down by the lion in that day, and a child will play at the hole of a poisonous snake. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said the nations will cease to war, to go to war, that they will use their military budgets, which is in the multiple billions of dollars, in this preparation for war and to defend against those who would war against us. The Bible said they will beat their weapons, their of war, into implements of agriculture. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if the budget, military budgets of the world were suddenly used for agricultural development in all these countries where so many people starving and the diseases that ravage because of malnutrition? Oh, what a wonderful world it will be when Jesus is in control instead of the devil. Amen. In this wonderful kingdom that is coming, literal kingdom, physical kingdom of our Christ and our God. And that day is coming, and all I can say is, Maranatha, Jesus, come quickly. Praise God. But until He comes, we need His help with the hurt that the curse has caused and that sin has created. Amen. I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 19 through verse 22 on the subject once again this week, Jesus, the Healer of the broken. Jesus, the healer of the broken. One thing I love about Jeremiah, and you'll hear it come out in these verses of Scripture, he's very, very clear about the sin and consequences of the sin of the covenant people of God that he offered blessing and pardon and restoration to if they would just repent of their sin and return unto him. But they were refusing every effort of God, every effort that he made to reconcile them and to restore them was refuted as they pulled away the shoulder, as one verse of Scripture said. They pulled away the shoulder. You can see God just putting his hand on their shoulder and them pulling away, and they made their heart, it said, as hard as an adamant stone. Literally, their heart became rock hard, diamond hard, until they were no longer pricked in their conscience and in their heart because of their sins against God. God did not design nor desire to harm them, to see them chastised. But he, in his holiness, is obligated to judge sin. But in his love, mercy, and grace, he is reaching out to this nation, as he's reaching out to our nation and to the nations of the world today. God doesn't want any to perish. I love that scripture in the New Testament. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. That scripture right there divulges unto us in a clear and concise way that God's desire is to seek and to save, not to judge and to harm anyone. Sin has consequences. Judgments will come and are in the land, in my understanding and in my personal opinion, after years of studying the scriptures and looking at what is occurring right now in our generation. But there is an answer and a solution, and it is found in Jesus Christ, his shed blood and his intercession in our behalf. Praise God. Jesus indeed is the healer of the broken. I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 8. And as I said of Jeremiah, one thing that sets him apart was his compassion, not just his sympathy, but his empathy. He identified with the sins of his generation. He understood the consequences of that sin, and he hurt when he saw them turn away. His heart was broken for them. He wasn't angry. He wasn't impatient. He wasn't lashing out and calling some kind of judgment down, but he knew a righteous judgment was surely to come. And here's what he began to say in Jeremiah chapter 8. And verse 19 through 22. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Last week we talked about Gilead being known for its healing medicines. And to say that there was no physician in Gilead would be to say there is no doctor at the hospital. There was surely a solution for the problem that sin and rebellion had created. The suffering and the pain need not occur because there was an answer. But the heart of Jeremiah was broken. And one of the saddest verses of Scripture is in verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In other words, the time, the opportunity, the window of opportunity was clear. And yet, there was a choice to not return to God, so that God, in His holiness and in His justice, could not return to them. And now they became vulnerable to their enemy. And let me tell you something. Sin has made us vulnerable to our enemy, the devil. Jesus said the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Praise God. Amen. That's why we title this teaching, Jesus, the Healer of the Broken, because whether you're saved or not, we have something in common today. We all live in faulty bodies in a fallen world, and there's going to be hurt and brokenness because of that. And there is a balm in Gilead, spiritually speaking. There is a physician. In fact, He's the great physician, and He doesn't just heal the body, but He heals the heart. He heals the soul. He heals the tormented mind today. Praise God. We made a statement after we read this scripture last week that the devil will only show you the pleasure of sin, never the pain. He will only show you the immediate gratification that sin can bring, never the end result, never the immediate nor the eternal consequences. So we want to make it very, very clear today that no matter where you are or who you are, God loves you. And there is a balm in Gilead for you. There is a great physician that knows how to heal the hurt, regardless of what that hurt is. Amen. Beginning with the salvation of your soul, and that peace with God brings peace within and the great peace of God into your heart and into your life. Israel had fallen so far from God, and judgments were already coming in the land. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 1, verse 5 and 6. He said, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither soothed with ointment." In Isaiah 1, 5 and 6. A nation now is reeling in pain and hurt and brokenness. And this is the result of sin and rebellion. That's why we talked last week about Psalm 23, where it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, and then my cup runneth over." And we talked about sheep with wounds. They would be wounded in their head, and now that wound is festering, becoming infected. And left unattended, unbound up, unministered to, surely it would die. But because of the oil that was rubbed in the wound, and the healing herbs that were placed in the oil and made this ointment that brought healing, then this wound would close. This wound would heal, and this life would be saved. And let me read what one commentator said on this verse of Scripture in Isaiah and this condition of God's people in this period of time. "Every thought, word, and action is polluted by sin. Every mental faculty is depraved. The will chooses evil. The affections cleave to earthly things. The memory, like a broken sieve, retains the bad and lets fall the good." I want you to listen, because this is not just addressing sin's consequence to ancient people in an ancient time. This is exactly what is occurring in our world and our society today. "The judgment, like a bribed or drunken judge, pronounces mindless or wrong decisions. The conscience, like an opium eater, lies asleep and drugged in stupefied silence." When all these master faculties of the mind are so drunken and disorderly, need we wonder that the bodily members are a godless, rebellious crew? Lust call out for gratification, unbelief and infidelity murmur, tempers growl and mutter. Every bad passion strives hard for the mastery. Oh, the evils of the human heart, which let loose, have filled earth with misery and hell with victims, which deluged the world with the flood, burnt Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven, and are ripening the world for the final conflagration. Every sin which has made this fair earth a present hell has filled the air with groans and has drenched the ground with blood, dwells in your heart and mine. Now, as this is opened up to the conscience by the Spirit of God, we feel indeed to be of all men most sinful and miserable, and of all most guilty, polluted, and vile. But it is this, and nothing but this, that cuts to pieces our fleshly righteousness, wisdom, and strength, which slays our delusive hopes and lays us low at the footstool of mercy. Without one good thought, word, or action to propitiate an angry judge, it is this which brings the soul to this point, that if saved, it can only be saved by the free grace, sovereign mercy, and tender compassion of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Friend, I want to declare that we just read most of this is bad news, and we can see all of these conditions in our generation. But the good news is that we who cannot save ourselves or change ourselves can be changed from the inside out, saved, sealed, sanctified, and sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Jesus Christ is our balm in Gilead, our great physician, our shepherd king. When He pours oil and wine into the deadly wounds that sin and Satan has inflicted, amen, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, and our friend will come and help us. We used to sing a song in church, He will come and save you. Praise God. What a song that is representative of a God who is seeking to save those who are lost and to seal us for eternity. I can't change myself. You can't change yourself. We're all products of the fall. And sin will take us to places that we never meant to go. Keep us longer than we meant to stay. And refuse to let us go when we want to be free. Thank God for a Savior who came explicitly to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, according to the Scripture. Whether you're a boomer or a buster or part of the X generation, sin is our common disease, and Jesus is the universal cure. He took our place, He took our punishment, so that we can be forgiven. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 5. Listen carefully. It said, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. But surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. One translation says it very clearly, yet it was our sickness He carried and our diseases. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace, or the chastisement that brought our peace, was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Ernest Hemingway said at the end of A Farewell to Arms, this is what he wrote. The world breaks everyone. Then some become strong at the broken places. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go from brokenness. This is not Hemingway, by the way. This is what I am commenting on, what he said. Listen, you in and of yourself can't overcome the hurt, the pain, the brokenness, the slavery to sin. But Jesus can and will deliver you. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you can go from brokenness to blessedness. God has provided a lamb. God has given His Son. And Jesus gave Himself for us so that we can be given the kiss of forgiveness, of unconditional love. In the song by Point of Grace, this amazing grace is put to music, and I love the lyrics. It's also a beautiful song musically, the wonder of it all. And listen to what it says. Hear the clock strike 2 a.m. Another sleepless night for you. Oh, I've been there too. But there is healing in the hand of God. He will cover everybody. He'll even touch someone like you. It's a natural thing to believe that something wonderful never comes easy. Let it go. There is power in the cross to heal us. There is freedom in the blood that Jesus offered to you so freely. And the chorus says, feel the wonder of it all. Let your heart and your mind receive an answer to the call. Feel the wonder of it all, sweet Jesus. I'm going to continue. I want to read this other verse. The love of God, the wonder of it all. Another day, another twist in the road, a cloud upon your soul. Don't let it take control. Don't be afraid to say the name. He's there for those who call on Him. He's your refuge from the cold. The love, to love God is a curious thing. The more you give it seems the more He brings His love back to you. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, bells ringing, I can hear the angels sing so clearly the chorus. The answer is Jesus. Hallelujah. The answer is Jesus. Praise God. The answer today is the same as it was in that day. The answer is forgiveness. The answer is mercy. The answer is grace. The answer is returning to God so that God may return to us. Praise God. Many years ago, I read a story told by a surgeon, Richard Seltzer. And in this story, and I quote, he said the delicate procedure had resulted in the severing of a tiny but important facial nerve. That was a tumor being removed from the cheek of a woman. And he said the woman which controls the muscles of the side of her mouth, the woman's husband was there in the room as he looks at her crooked smile for the first time in a mirror. And the woman asked, will my mouth always look like this? Dr. Seltzer has to tell her that it will be so. Her husband suddenly says that he likes it. He says it's kind of cute. And then he bends down over to kiss her, and Seltzer is close enough to see how the young man twists his lips to accommodate hers, to show her that the kiss still works. Seltzer writes that he stood by the bed feeling that he shouldn't be there, and then he suddenly realizes why he is there with them. He recognizes who they truly are. He lowers his eyes. I remember, he says, how God came to us in mortal form, and I held my breath and let the wonder in. Ah, the kiss of reconciliation, the kiss of grace and mercy, the kiss of restoration, the kiss that heals the hurt. When we were children, we thought our mother's kiss on our boo-boo, our bruise, our abrasion would heal it. There's really nothing scientific that would tell us that the kiss from a mother's lips will heal. But we felt the love, and we believed that it would get better. And I'm going to tell you something. This kiss of reconciliation from God through Jesus Christ will not just give us some kind of mental peace for a moment or two. It will bring actual spiritual healing. It will heal the hurt of the emotions. It will heal the hurt of the broken heart. It will heal the hurt of a tormented mind and give us peace. And friend of mine, if you don't have that peace today, that peace of heart and that peace of mind, you know what the Bible said about we who have been born into this world of sin and heartache and heartbreak, and we who continue to serve sin because we're blinded to the real consequences of that sin. The Bible said in the Old Testament, the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. There is no peace. It cannot be found in a bottle of alcohol. It cannot be found in a syringe of drugs. It cannot be found in a pill. It can't be found in riches and fortune and fame. It can only be found when we're reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then and only then can our brokenness be healed. But then, friend, make no mistake about it, it will be healed. And not only will our eternal destiny be set because we've accepted Christ as our Savior and we continue to look to Him, amen, and follow Him, but our immediate pain is alleviated. Oh, friend, what Jesus came to do is give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Today there is a balm in Gilead. Today there is a physician there. And before we close this broadcast, I want to invite you to open your heart and open your life. And don't run from God any further and any longer. Run to Him. He's waiting with open arms. We used to sing that great invitation song. Amen. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. There is no secret what God can do. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? It's no secret, friend. God has declared it. He is declaring it and will continue to declare it. There is a balm in Gilead. There's a physician there. And the hurt and the pain and the heartache and the eternal consequences that are coming. All of that can be resolved right here, right now, in this holy moment in time, if you decide to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. And the chastisement that brings and makes possible peace with God and the peace of God was laid on Him. You know what the next verse goes on to say? It says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I'm saved today because Jesus took my place. I'm healed of the hurt and pain that sin had brought into my life and that Satan had inflicted because of what Jesus did. And oh, I want to share that peace, that joy, and that eternal hope with you today. Accept Christ as your Savior. Repent of sin and enter in to His kingdom of grace, mercy, and love. Let Him kiss away the hurt today as you're reconciled to Him. Today, if you're a Christian, live in the light of His wonderful mercy and grace. Let go the hurt. Let go the pain. And receive the healing balm in Jesus' name. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.